Turn with me for our New Testament reading to the book of James, Epistle of James, and we'll read verses 1 through 12. James chapter 3, 1 through 12. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 6 in particular. James 3, beginning at verse 1. Hear God's holy word. James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. James, chapter 3. We're getting back to our series here on the book of James that we've been in. Up to a few weeks ago, we started just a couple of weeks ago in James chapter 3, looking at verses 1 and 2, a few weeks back rather. And here James begins to address the matter of the tongue, our speech. Your speech, James says there in those opening verses, verse 2 especially, your speech, believer, is extremely important to your walk with God as a Christian. Your speech is not something for you to take lightly. In verse 2, James is saying it's a weighty matter. It's a matter of central importance to our relationship with the Lord and to our relationship with others. It's very important to our spiritual growth. Our remaining sin nature is an enemy in our lives. We are still sinners as believers in Christ. And that remaining old fleshly nature, the flesh as Scripture often refers to it, is a big problem for us as believers in Christ. It doesn't go away when we come to faith in Christ. It continues to be there in our lives. It continues to be that internal enemy that we have to contend with. And it rises up and it breaks forth in all kinds of ways, in our outward lives, in our conduct. But sins of speech are one of the most prominent and harmful sins that we can commit. And I think that's because we speak a lot, don't we? Most of us speak quite a bit, and we don't speak as carefully as we ought to. We often speak hastily, and we often speak with harsh words, hurtful words to others, careless words. At times we make statements that are downright untrue, or exaggerations of the truth. Or even if something is true, in many cases, we have no business saying it. It ought to be left unsaid. A lot of what we say about other people ought not to be said at all. Much of what we say may be downright slanderous of others, and certainly displeasing to God. And it should never come out of our mouths in the first place, and yet it does. This is the tongue, even the tongue of the regenerated believer in Christ. And it does much damage. So of all the forms that sin may continue to take in our lives and may show up in our lives, our speech is one of the most prominent and one of the most destructive ways that sin appears in our lives. But God has called us to better things. He has called us to repent of our sins and to repent of our sins of speech and to grow in these areas. He calls us to be Christ-like and holy in our speech. In our passage today, James uses some different images to teach us this. He uses some different imagery to teach us about the power and peril of the tongue. And first he uses, beginning in verse 3, this image of a horse. A horse, as you know, is a very large and powerful animal. A good fast horse can run a quarter mile in around 25 seconds and can reach more than 50 miles an hour. A strong horse can carry several hundred pounds on its back without even breaking a sweat. And a wild horse, of course, can be very dangerous, not to be trifled with. But at the same time, James tells us a horse can be controlled. This large, powerful animal can be restrained. You can restrain a horse. You can control it by putting a very tiny little metal instrument in its mouth, a bit. And then you can control all that raw power and steer that powerful animal in any direction you want. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And James says the same idea, the very same idea applies to the largest of ships. No matter how large a boat or ship may be, it's steered by a very small rudder. Take, for instance, the USS Enterprise, a very large aircraft carrier, one of the largest ships ever built, more than 3 football fields in length, that's hard to fathom, weighs more than 90,000 tons. That's 180 million pounds. Think about how massive a ship like that is. And yet, even that ship is steered by a very small rudder system. Well, the tongue, James says, is a lot like those illustrations, a lot like that horse's bit and like that small rudder of a great ship. The tongue is a very small part of the human body. And yet it has a lot of power, oversized power, relatively speaking, to the body. James says the tongue makes great boasts. That's the first thing he says here. And the meaning here is not just that people use their tongues for boasting. That's true as well. But James is saying that the tongue has far oversized powers relative to the body. If a tongue was personified, if it was able to speak of itself, if it could boast of itself and its power and its influence compared to other parts of the body, well, the tongue would have something to boast about. The tongue would have bragging rights, probably over any other part of the body in terms of influence, whether good or bad. Same thing goes for those illustrations James gave. If a horse's bit could speak, it would boast of all it could do, how it could subdue all that power and strength of the horse to allow the rider to control it. And if a ship's rudder could speak, it would boast of how important it is, what an important part of the ship it is, being able to steer that massive vessel to safety and out of harm's way. You get the idea. It's the influence of these very small instruments that is far beyond their size. The tongue could boast about the incredible influence and impact that it has through speech. A human tongue is a tiny thing, weighing only 2 or 3 ounces, has hardly any strength physically. It's even humorous to think of that. But it makes a tremendous impact, disproportionate to its size and strength. One person's tongue can make an incredible impact. It can change millions of lives. It can shape the future of nations and of the world. Think of the impact made by simply the words of one tongue, that of Adolf Hitler. How many millions of lives were destroyed because of his tongue? It wasn't the bombs and bullets of World War II that ended so many lives. It was first and foremost the human tongue. You need to realize what a giant impact your tongue has on others. That's what James wants us to see here. Your tongue is very powerful. Your tongue, no doubt, has helped people at many times, but it has also hurt people. That's true for each and every one of us. And we all underestimate what our tongues can do and what they're capable of and what they have done. And we need to be careful. You don't need physical weapons. You don't need guns or knives or any other weapons to hurt people. You can do so much damage with nothing more than your tongue. Don't take lightly the kind of damage and destruction that your words can do. James writes about the tongue's power for harm and destruction in verses 5 and 6 here. He compares the tongue to a fire. It's a very fitting image. He says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Maybe you remember the old commercials with Smokey the Bear for the U.S. Forest Service. I don't know if they still run. Once in a while I see that image online. I remember them when I was a kid. Smokey was the mascot of the U.S. Forest Service. He always said, "Only you can prevent forest fires." And the commercials would go on to show how much damage can be done by just a tiny, careless act of leaving a forest fire lit and not properly put out. We see the evidence of those kinds of damaging fires every year, it seems. We see them in California all the time or somewhere else. This year, the fires in Australia were terrible. One little spark can start such massive destruction, whether by accident or deliberately. A campfire not fully extinguished can destroy massive amounts of territory. A cigarette just carelessly tossed out a window, a smoldering match dropped on the ground. I remember last year, somehow some of the grass right out here outside the church. One Sunday evening, we came in for worship, the grass was there. And when we went out, there was nothing but blackness. The whole patch of grass near the highway was completely incinerated and black and smoldering. Didn't even notice it happened. That's all it takes to set something ablaze. A whole forest can be set ablaze by a tiny, careless act. People are killed. Animals are killed and displaced. But that kind of damage is nothing compared to the damage that the human tongue can do. James says the tongue is like that one small spark. One commentator has said, "Those who misuse the tongue are guilty of spiritual arson. One mere spark of an ill-spoken word can produce a firestorm that annihilates everything it touches. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy lives." James then calls the tongue a world of evil. A world of evil. Think of the world as we hear that term used in the New Testament. It carries the idea of rebellion. Carries the idea of hostility to God, warfare against God. That's what characterizes this fallen world. Think of Psalm 2 and the world rising up against God. God-hating, Christ-rejecting, self-centered evil. That's what the world is like in its fallen state. That is the fallen heart of sinful man. And James says that is what characterizes the fallen, sinful human tongue. The sinner's tongue is a force for evil. It is an enemy of God. And it is our enemy. Even as believers, that's true. Now, this applies to the believer's tongue, and we need to take it to heart. If we let it, our tongues have a way of setting our lives on fire. It has a way of polluting our lives, corrupting our lives, and spreading to others. Again, the sinner, the believing sinner, is still inclined to all sorts of sin. We have that evil, sinful nature still within us, seeking to dominate us. And we express that evil that is still within us outwardly in our actions and through the tongue, our speech. Sinful speech corrupts our lives. It's a polluting force in our lives. Now James is not really by speaking of the tongue here, he's not really aiming these criticisms, these comments at our literal tongues in our mouths. Of course not. This little piece of flesh inside our mouths. When he speaks of the tongue, he's speaking of the sinful heart of man that lies behind the tongue. The heart is what moves the tongue to speak in the way that it does. Jesus speaks of this in Mark 7. He said, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." So the tongue gives outward expression to the inward, sinful heart of man. And when that happens, our lives are stained by that overflow. And that mess soils us. It soils you. And it is offensive to God and to others and hurtful to others. Well, then James says the tongue sets on fire the entire course of life, and the tongue itself is set on fire by hell. It's a very interesting statement. The word hell is translated from the word Gehenna. And Gehenna was a location outside the city of Jerusalem. It was a place where many years earlier, before the time of Christ, this place was the site of child sacrifices, idolatrous child sacrifices made to the false god Molech. And later the Jews fittingly turned that place into a garbage dump. And refuse, garbage, was burned there continually. Very fitting indeed. And the fire, they say, never went out in that place. The burning was perpetual. And this became a symbolic image of hell, the place of eternal torment for the devil and all God's enemies. The true hell is like that. It's like Gehenna, only far worse. It is a place of fiery torment, eternal torment, where the burning never ends, our Lord Jesus said. And what James seems to be saying here is that Satan himself also kindles that fire of the tongue. And our tongues then become instruments of Satan. That should sober you. To think of that. Your tongue could be an instrument of Satan when you open your mouth. Remember that the next time you're about to vent, to let your tongue loose and say things in what might be a careless fashion. We've all done that. We've all breathed plenty of fire with our sinful tongues. And this comes from our own hearts, from our own sinful nature. But James says it also comes at times from the devil. And under those evil influences, our tongues are very destructive. They are like flamethrowers spiritually. And all you need to do is think of how you have been on the receiving end of that kind of fire from others. We need to think about that. We've all received plenty of damaging speech from others over the course of our lives, as children and as adults. And these things are very harmful. very hurtful. It's very hard to recover from that kind of damage that we've absorbed from the speech of others. And we certainly don't like it when we're on the receiving end of that kind of damaging, destructive speech from others. So James would urge us, please take care how you speak, how you use your own tongue. And don't try to justify that evil that comes out of your mouth at times, that rolls off your tongue. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to minimize it. Don't try to pretend that those words are innocent or harmless. You know, our hearts try to do that. Satan wants us to do that. He certainly wants to use us. He wants to use you and your tongue to do what he does, and that is to corrupt and to destroy. Be aware of that. And don't go along with it. And I want to stop here rather than rushing through the rest of this passage. It's a very important passage. It's very helpful for us, very practical for our lives. Lord willing, we'll take it up again next Sunday. For this week ahead, I just want you to meditate on this sober passage that we've just considered. Meditate on the incredible power of the tongue, the terrible power that it has for damage and destruction, and also the incredible power it has for good. Don't underestimate it. Your tongue can be used to great effect. You can use it to praise God wonderfully and to bless people and to influence them for great good. Or you can use your tongue to curse God, James says, and to do so much harm to people and to pollute your own life as well and those around you. You can build up others or you can tear them down, depending on how you use your tongue. And the reality is that it is much more difficult to use our tongues for good than it is to use them for evil. It comes pretty naturally. It comes pretty easily to use your tongue for evil. But it's hard to control your tongue for good, isn't it? We need God's grace and help. We need His strength. We need Him to be changing us and transforming us inwardly in order for this little instrument, our tongues, to be used for good and to be controlled. It's easier to just let the flames shoot out. That's so easy. Charles Spurgeon illustrated this whole matter of how hard it is to control the tongue for good. He said, if you want the truth to go around the world, you must hire a freight train to pull it. But if you want a lie to go around the world, it will fly swiftly and easily. It is as light as a feather, and a mere breath will carry it. An old proverb says, a lie will go round the world while the truth is still putting its boots on. So whether it's lies or some other form of evil speech, these always seem to come out of us sinners more freely than good. The good things that we ought to be saying. But God calls us to exercise self-control in these things. In our thoughts, in our words, and in all our deeds. We need to be self-controlled people. We need to fight against the sinful inclinations of our heart. And certainly, as they express themselves through our tongues, we need to fight. And we need to douse that inward fire by pouring in the Word of God into our hearts afresh and often. Pour it into you, that life-giving fountain, that stream of life of God's Word, especially the gospel. The gospel which reminds us, which reminds you, believer, that you have been forgiven. You have been cleansed of these things. These things are not fitting for you any longer. That is not who you are now. You belong to the Lord. You were bought with a price. You are His and He is yours. You're a new creature in Christ now if you've trusted in Him to save you. And your Lord loves you and He dwells within you. So commit to loving Him by not letting any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Our God and Father, bless your word. We pray that you would enable us to take these words to heart. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these warnings and instructions about the destructive power of our words. And we confess that we're guilty of using our tongues in wrong and hurtful and evil ways. We have sinned against you and we have hurt others. We ask your forgiveness. We ask you to protect us from the influence of our sinful hearts and of the devil. Enable us to live with a full awareness that we will give an account for every word that we utter. Lord, enable us to control our tongues. Teach us to speak as you would speak. Write your words on our hearts so that all that we speak would be pleasing in your sight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.